In the beginning, in the garden, what happens in the garden? God created everything. He created man. He created all the things that we appreciate in the world. He blessed it. He said, it is good, right? And then what happened is, as he created this one tree in the center of the garden, and he said, you can eat from any other tree. We can eat from any other tree in the garden, but you must not eat from this one. You know, there today there's over 60,000 different types of trees. But what did they do there in the garden? Adam and Eve got fixated, what, on the one tree? Are they so different from us, right? God, when God put something off limits, we convince ourselves that we need that, and he's trying to keep something from us, right? Well, that's exactly what they did. They said, oh, God's trying to keep something from us. God's trying to keep something from us. And what did the serpent come and do? The tempter came to Eve and said, did God actually say to you that you should not eat from the tree in the garden? Ooh, what's going on here? What's going on? It said that he was crafty. And it says this, the woman said, we may not eat from the tree. We may eat for the fruit from the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit in the midst, neither should you touch it. Now, did God say you shouldn't touch it? No, he didn't say you shouldn't touch it. What? There's a subtle, what's happening here? There's a subtle lie that's creeped in, right? And the tempter is preying on this, is planting some seeds here, right? And he says, no, you're not going to die. God's doing this because if you eat that fruit, you're going to be like him. God's trying to keep that from you. And so then it says that she saw that it was good, and she took it, and she ate some of it. And her silly husband was there, and he just ate some of it too. Right? He was not being some strong man of God. He was right there, right? They did it together. But what happened there is a little lie turned into something big, right? A little lie turned into something big. And I believe that's how they got off track. That's how we get off track following Jesus. A little lie gets in and it turns into something big. I mean, there's lots of lies, little lies that we can start to believe that can start to get us off track. This morning, I want to talk about one in particular, and I want to talk about this one in particular because I think this is one that every single one of us, right? All of us have different little lies that we can start to believe, but I believe that this is one that every single one of us can fall prey to in certain ways. And this subtle little lie is this one. Maybe you've heard it. Maybe somebody's quoted this to you in a Bible study or quoted it to you in a time of prayer. And this subtle little lie is this. It says that God won't give you more than you can handle. Has anybody heard this subtle little lie? It's subtle because it's almost true. It's almost true, except it's not. And it will mess you up if you take this in and you begin to believe it as scripture truth. It's not. Now, I will tell you this, and I think this is why we're so prone to this, because there is an incredible promise in scripture that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, and it says this, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. What a lie we believe sometimes about temptation, right? Oh, nobody else has experienced this. Nobody's had it like I've had it. No, it's common. It's common, right? I used to collect baseball cards when I was a kid, and we had books that you would look up how much these cards were worth. Now, the reality is those cards weren't worth anything, right? But we looked up how much they were worth, and there was something called a common card, right? If it was common, it wasn't worth very much. Scripture says that our temptations, these ones that we think are so unique to us, no, they're common. They're common. But here's the promise. It says that God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out. Right? There's an incredible promise in that when we are tempted, right? We also find out that Jesus was in all ways tempted as we are, right? So he can empathize with us. We don't have a high priest that's unable to empathize with us. He knows exactly how we're feeling in those circumstances. And there's a promise that he'll provide a way out. Man, that's a really good promise. And I won't spend time here because I'm not preaching on this section of scripture, but when we find ourselves tempted, we need to look for the way out that God promised us, right? Instead of allowing ourselves to be overcome with it. Right, so this is an incredible promise, right, that God will not allow us to be tempted more than we can bear, but it doesn't say he won't give us more stuff in life than we can handle. It does not say that. In fact, we see quite the opposite in Scripture. We see that Gideon was inadequate. We see that Moses felt overwhelmed. We see that Esther was afraid and very scared. We see even Jesus in Mark chapter 14, verses 33 and 34. It says, Jesus began to be deeply distressed and troubled. He cried out to God saying, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Jesus, in that moment, was experiencing something that he said, this is too much for me to bear on my own. Father, help me. This subtle twisting of Scripture can lead us to believe that God wants us to be self-sufficient, right? If you take this in and you say, God won't give me more than I can handle, it can lead us to believe that God wants you to be self-sufficient. And I want to tell you this morning that self-sufficiency is anti-Christ. Self-sufficiency is anti-Christ. If you could do it all on your own, you don't need Jesus. If you could do it all on your own, you don't need faith and community and friends. And oh, but we need all those things. We need the church body. We need Jesus to save us. We need these things. We are not intended to be self-sufficient. This subtle lie can leave us feeling guilty when life seems too much. You know, there's some of us in this room this morning that we're dealing with anxiety. We're dealing with stress. We're condemning ourselves because we say, you know what, God wouldn't give me more than I can handle, so I just got to push through this. No, you need help. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not be okay. You know what? I'm stressed. I'm suffering some anxiety here. You need some help. You don't need to just power through it. The gospel is not pull yourself up by your bootstraps and just try a little bit harder. That is not what the gospel is, right? Jesus presents something very different to us. This subtle lie can leave us feeling guilt-stricken. This subtle lie can leave us stuck instead of moving forward. So here we are. I want us to jump into Numbers chapter 11, if you've got that there. I want to set the scene. This story that we're looking at here today is about Moses, probably the central character of the Old Testament. And what did Moses do? We know the story of Moses. We've seen the Prince of Egypt, maybe, right? He was born into a Hebrew family, but there was a time of oppression, and so all of the young men were being killed, and so his mother put him in a basket, right, shipped him down a river. By God's providence and provision, he was adopted into Pharaoh's family. He was raised in Pharaoh's house, but then when he saw the oppression of his people by the family that he had been adopted into, He lashed out in anger. He killed somebody, right? And that caused him to flee. When he fled, he sees this burning bush. God speaks to him out of this burning bush. He says, you're going to deliver my people, right? He does all these he gets to be the vehicle of all these amazing miracles that take place. Finally, Pharaoh is so exasperated. He says, go, leave. They leave. They get to the Red Sea. Pharaoh changes his mind, right? And then what happens? An incredible miracle happens. Moses puts his stick that he's carrying out over the water. The seas part. They go through. The seas close on top of the Egyptian armies. Right? God's done some amazing miracles through this man, Moses. But in Numbers chapter 11, Moses seems to have forgotten a lot of this stuff. He's so overwhelmed by the circumstance that he currently finds himself in. The people are hungry. God promised them that they were going to the promised land, and now they're out in the middle of the desert. And he's supposed to lead them. And this is what he says to God. He says, where can I get meat for all these people? They're wailing at me. Give us meat to eat. I cannot carry these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. Here's the thing is that God will oftentimes allow us to feel exactly like Moses felt in this moment. God will let us feel like things are too much. In fact, today I want to talk about the gift of too much. I want to talk about the gift of too much. Not only will God allow us to have more than we can handle, it is a gift if we choose to accept it. In Numbers 11, chapter 15, verse 17, this is what Moses said. I love this because it makes me feel better about how I relate to God sometimes. He says this. He says, if this is how you're going to treat me, put me to death right now. We can be honest. Aren't you glad that we can be honest with God? Yeah. Right? Sometimes we come to church and you got to say all the right words or whatever. This is how Moses talked to God. He said, God, if this is how you're going to treat me, I don't even have meat to feed these people. Just kill me right now. Right? I mean, he's fed up. He's at the end of his rope. And what does he say here? He said, the Lord responds to him, and the Lord says, Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders, and I will take the spirit that is on you and put it on them, and they will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone. Whew. You see, all of us, we go through life, right? We go through life and over time, we start picking things up, right? We start picking things up. We pick things up. God blesses us with things. We put it in the bag, right? God blesses us with stuff. We put it in the bag. God blesses us with stuff. We pick things up. We're putting it in here, right? And over time, that blessing, all those blessings, all the things that we've collected in life, right? Because we came in, how much did we come into this life with? I ain't come into this life with anything, right? Naked as a jaybird, right? You didn't even have clothes on. You've collected some things in life. Now, I've collected some blessings. I've also collected, let's be real, we've also collected some hurts. We've also collected some habits, collected some hang-ups, collected some trash we were never intended to pick up, right? We've collected some stuff. And the combination of all this stuff that we carry, after a while, it can start to weigh us down. This is reality, right? But I think there's three things that we can learn from this section of scripture here that can be incredibly helpful. God ministered to Moses in this moment, and he can minister to us through this same thing. Some of us, the first thing, right, the gift of too much manifests itself in three different ways. The first one is that it is an invitation for us to put something down, for us to put something down. You know, some of us, we're carrying things that we were never intended to carry. Some of us are carrying things that you were only intended to carry for a season. And some of us, we're carrying things that we picked up some garbage, we picked up some hurt, we picked up some stuff that other people put on us that we need to put down. And I just want to tell you this morning that in Christ, we are able to do that. You know, not everything that we carry, though, is a bad thing. Sometimes we're doing too much, and it's too much of good things. Jesus had some friends named Mary and Martha, and he's hanging out with Mary and Martha, and he does this on a number of occasions. They were close friends of his. They were important in his ministry. And he's at their house one day, and he's sitting, and he's talking to Mary. And Martha, what's Martha doing? Martha is exhibiting the spiritual gift of hospitality, right? We find out later on in the New Testament, Paul says that this is a spiritual gift, the gift of hospitality, right? Martha is serving Jesus. Literally, Jesus is right there in her house, and she's preparing food. She's getting the house ready. She's working and working and working and working. In fact, she gets upset because she says, Mary should be helping me too. Mary should be serving Jesus like I'm serving Jesus right now, right? What does Jesus say to her in this moment, though? We see it in Luke 10, verses 41 and 42. He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. You see, sometimes the things that we're carrying are not just bad things. Sometimes we are feeling overwhelmed. Sometimes life is too much because we are doing too much of good things. Maybe things that were good in another season. Maybe we're wearing ourselves out, right? Was Martha in sin? Was Martha doing something evil? Was Martha doing something wrong? No, she was using her spiritual gift. She was serving Jesus. She was being hospitable. But she was doing too much in that moment. And Jesus says, no, it's time to sit. And it's time to learn from me. Right? It's not always bad things, right? We have kids' activities and friends' parties and volunteering at school and planning a wedding and, oh, we're in a baby season and all these different things that go on. And as we go through these different seasons, sometimes we are just simply carrying too much. And there's an invitation in Christ. There's an invitation here that Jesus gave to Martha and that Jesus gives to us today. Some of us just need to put some stuff down. You're doing too much. This season of 21 days of prayer and fasting is an incredible opportunity for us to pause and consider, Lord, am I doing too much? Are there some things that I need to put down? You see, the gift of too much will teach us to say or instead of and. It'll teach us to say or instead of and. We're getting practical here, right? Some of us, right, we're going through life and we're filling up this bag with stuff and sometimes we need to pull some stuff out of the bag and say, if I'm going to put this new thing in the bag, I got to take something else out of the bag, right? But our natural tendency, if we're not careful, is we just put it all in there, right? We just put it all in, pile it all on. We have to realize that whenever we say yes, we're also saying no, right? When I say yes to one thing, I'm inevitably saying no to something else, right? We have to internalize this. We have to make sure that we're understanding this. Jesus teaches something incredible in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. What's the first thing that you're putting in this bag? You see, a lot of times the reality is, and I say us when I say this because I struggle with this, a lot of times we put things in the bag and then we try and put the kingdom in addition. But he says, no, that's the first thing, right? Anybody seen the illustration with the rocks in the sand? Yeah, you got a jar, and if you put the sand and then the small rocks, like the big rock doesn't fit in, right? It's this thing they do in college classes sometimes. The only way that it all fits into the jar is if you put the big rocks in first. In a similar way, the kingdom's the thing that's got to go in first. The kingdom is the big rock. Your relationship with Jesus is the big rock. If you're putting in other things first, it's not going to fit in. It's going to feel too much. It's going to feel overwhelming, right? And the reality is that sometimes when you put in that big rock, there's some other rocks that don't fit in. But it's okay because you're seeking first the right thing, right? We can settle for a filled life, but we don't get the full life that God intended us to live if we're not careful. Jesus says in John 10:10, he says, I've come that you might have life to the fullest. Jesus didn't give his life for us to experience a life of exhaustion, right? Jesus wants us to live a full and robust life. But in order for us to do that, we're going to have to be willing to put some things down sometimes. Some of us are carrying too much. Some of us are carrying too much. You know, there was a gift in the season that we're kind of coming out of now, right? This COVID season, a lot of things stopped. And you know what? I don't know if you noticed this about our human nature. We were so quick to just pick it all back up, right? It all stopped. And then we're like, man, when can we get back to it? When can we get back to it? When can we get back to it, right? But there's some things that maybe we shouldn't have picked up, or maybe we shouldn't pick back up, right? Maybe there's some things that are competing and making it hard for us to put the kingdom first and to do what Jesus said. Maybe there's some things that are competing for our time and our attention. Maybe they're good things. They might not even be bad things. But there's an invitation. In the gift of too much, there's an invitation to put something down. The second thing we see is in Exodus chapter 18, verses 17 through 18, they're still dealing with this issue. And Moses is talking to God, and God says to Moses, he says, what you're doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you to handle alone. Right? Moses is exhausted, and God says the problem is you're trying to do this alone. The second invitation that we see in the gift of too much is you know, first we can put some things down. The second thing is some of us, we need to hand something off. God tells Moses in this situation, he says, Moses, you're doing too much. You're trying to do this all on your own. You need to hand some things off to other people. You need to hand some things off to other people. You know, God does not intend for you to do everything that he's given you all by yourself. God continues on in this. He says, that will make the load lighter because they will share it with you, and then you will be able to stand the strain, and these people will go home satisfied. There's an invitation here to Moses, and there's an invitation to us to hand something off. Some of us, we're simply doing too much. We're carrying too much, and we need to share that with somebody else. Some of us, we're carrying anxiety that we need to share with a friend, or we need to see a professional and share that anxiety with them and allow them to minister with us, or allow them to carry that burden with us and to help us. Right, some of us, we're doing stuff that God didn't intend for us to do alone. We need to invite somebody else into it. Right? We need to have some brothers and sisters in Christ that we can ask to help shoulder the load with us. Multiple times in Scripture, there's this analogy of a yoke, right? Jesus says, yoke yourself up with me. He also talks about us being yoked up with other people, right? Other people who will help us carry the load that we're carrying. We're not meant to go through life alone. Right, that's one of the reasons that we gather together as a church. That's one of the reasons we've got connect groups coming up. Why do we do connect group? Connect groups are an opportunity for us to meet other people, other brothers and sisters, and we get to study Scripture and do things like that. But most importantly, we build some friendships, we build some relationships, and then when things feel too much, we've got some people that we can help. We can ask for help, ask them to shoulder the responsibility along with us. Right? So there's an invitation when life seems too much and the gift of too much. It's an invitation to put something down, to hand something off. And then the third thing is for us to give something to God. For us to give something to God. I didn't know we were going to be singing this morning, but it's so perfect. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your cares on the Lord. He will sustain you. Cast your cares on Jesus because he will sustain you. Some of us are carrying things that we need to put down. Some of us are carrying things that we need to hand off. Some of us are carrying things that we need to take it. We just need to cast it on Jesus. You know, the original language there in the Hebrew, that word that we translate cast, to me cast sounds passive. It sounds like I'm fishing, right? It just sounds like a passive thing. That Hebrew word there is a word shalak. I love how it just sounds aggressive. The word literally means to throw or to hurl. Some of us need to hurl some things, need to throw some things at Jesus. You've been carrying it around and you need to just give it up to God. You've been carrying it way too long. You've been trying to shoulder it on your own. You just need to take it and you need to hurl it. You have that responsibility. You have that invitation in Christ that we don't have to carry the things that we're carrying. If it's overwhelming you, if it's weighing you down, if it's keeping you from moving forward, some of us, we need to cast that on Jesus. There's a promise that we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. It says, grace is sufficient. This is God's promise that he gave to Paul. He says, grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in your weakness. His power is made perfect in our weakness. When we take off the things that are weighing us down and we cast them on him, we can receive his strength. So there's an invitation in this to put some things down, to hand some things off, to cast some things on God. I wonder what the things that you're carrying today, what are the things that you need to put down? What are the things that you need to hand off? What are the things that you need to cast on God? There's two things that I think God wants us to teach us in that exercise. And I want to encourage us, maybe write down those three things and actually think through that, pray through that this week. God, what are the things that you want me to put down? Maybe it's a good thing, but I just need to put it down. Maybe not forever, but for this season, I need to put it down so I can focus on you. Maybe not forever, but for now, I need to put it down. Maybe there's a relationship. Maybe there's whatever it is. I need to put it down so I can focus on you. Something I need to hand off to somebody. Something that I just need to cast it. I just need to give it to you. There's some things that I think God, there's two things that I think God wants us to teach us through this process. Why would God allow us to have more than we can handle? Why would God allow us to feel overwhelmed in this moment? The first one is to teach us to depend on his presence. God wants to teach us to depend, not just be, right? There's a difference in being and depending. Are you dependent on God's presence, right? We come to church, but is this Jesus calls it our daily bread, right? Daily bread means I need it or I'm going to cease to live, right? I need, right? Scripture talks about the word of God being like the air that we breathe. You can hold your breath for a little bit, but if you don't take in some breaths, right, you're gone, right? Are we dependent upon the Lord? You see, moments like this will teach us to depend on his presence. When things are good, we tend to forget about God. Is this not true? The Old Testament is so illustrative of this as we see the children of Israel, the people of God, as they go through all of these different circumstances. And it's so illustrative because it looks exactly like our lives, right? When God blesses them, right, they're happy and they worship him. But if things are good for too long, they tend to start to forget about him, right? And they tend to turn to it. All it keeps on saying through scripture, you read, it's like, oh, they're turning to foreign gods. Oh, somebody told them about a new god and they start worshiping that. Right? They forget all about God, but when things get tough, when they feel overwhelmed, they look to God and they return to his presence. And to their credit for that, they do turn back to God in those moments. Right? God wants us to depend on his presence through the good times and through the difficult times. Right? A couple years ago, I was on an airplane, and we were boarding, and we were making that awkward small talk as you're like sitting in the seat, like, you know, like sharing like a personal space with somebody that you've never met before. And this was before COVID, so people were like even like less concerned about personal space. And so we were making this awkward small talk about, like, what do you do? Which, if you ever want to, like, kill a conversation, tell somebody that you're a pastor. Like, right? If you ever don't want to have that conversation, be like, oh, I'm a minister of the Lord of God. Like, I'm a pastor, right? Because people shut down, they get weird. And then the people that do want to talk are not the people that you want to have a long talk conversation with a lot of times, because they're like... Anyway, so I told her, I was like, well, I was taking, there's like a brief moment always when people ask that, where I'm like, am I going to tell them I'm a pastor? Am I going to, like, say, like, I do something else? But I'm like, no, I'm a pastor. And she goes, oh, I don't believe in God. I don't, like, and she told me this whole thing about, like, how she doesn't believe in God, whatever. We get an hour and a half into this flight, and there's, like, wicked turbulence. Like, the whole plane shaking and everything. And I mean, I know, like, scientifically, like, turbulence doesn't cause planes to crash, but, like, even knowing that, I'm like, oh gosh, we're gonna die. But this lady, this lady leans over and she goes, are you praying? And I wanted to be like, well, you say you don't believe in God. But in that moment, right? In that moment, she's like, I don't believe in God, but I hope he's praying, right? But is that not all of us, right? When the times get tough, man, we all, right? There's a saying, right? Like foxhole conversions, like in war, like you're in the trench and you're like, man, I don't believe in Jesus, but the bombs are coming. Let's pray to somebody, right? We turn to God when the times get tough. And I want to encourage you that some of us, what we're experiencing right now is an invitation to return to God. You're saying, where's God in this? Where's God in this? Well, God is right there. He's wanting you to turn to him. Man, I'm experiencing anxiety. You know what? Oftentimes, stop beating yourself up about it. It's not a sin that you're committing. It's an invitation to turn to him. That those emotions that you're feeling are not something to ignore. They're an indicator that it's time to turn to God. That it's time to look to him. That it's time to receive his strength in his presence. God wants us to depend upon his presence. There's an incredible story. It takes up a whole book in the Old Testament, the book of Jonah, right? What does Jonah do? Jonah runs from God. He runs, God says, go here, and he goes the exact opposite direction, right? Man, again, how true of many of us, right? He goes the opposite direction. Finally, God gets his attention, right? And Jonah has this testimony later. He says, in my distress, I called on the Lord, and he answered me. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you. Some of us right now, you're not in a physical belly of a fish, right? But we feel like we're in a difficult circumstance, right? Maybe it's even because we did run from God, just like Jonah. But just like Jonah did, we have the opportunity. God wants us to experience his presence, to depend on his presence. Lord, save me out of this situation. Often when life is hard, we say, God, where are you? But God's presence never left us. God's presence never left you. He's always been there. It says in Scripture, it says, the Lord is near to all who call on him. All who call on him in truth. God wants us to experience his presence. He wants us to depend on his presence. The second thing that I believe that there's an invitation in these moments is for us to experience his power. God wants us to depend on his presence, and he wants us to experience his power. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is talking about this issue that he has. He calls it a thorn in his flesh. Right? It's this thing, and he doesn't describe exactly what it is. It might be a physical deformity. It might be an emotional trauma. It's something, and it's egging at him. In fact, he says that it's keeping him from being able to do everything that he wants to do. Right? I don't know what this is. If it's a physical deformity, if it's a pain, if it's a disease, if it's whatever it is. But this thing is keeping him from being able to move forward. And he says, I begged the Lord three times, which in scripture language, that may mean that he begged the Lord like three is like a number of completion. He might have begged the Lord millions of times to take this thing away, right? And some of us are living exactly there, right? We have something like that where we've said, God, please take this away, right? I have a chronic disease in my gut. Now, thank God I live in the 21st century and I take medicine, I'm okay, but man, I would love it if God took that thing away, because it causes me issues sometimes, but God hasn't taken away from me. Maybe you have something like that too. Paul had something like this, right? Some of us, it's chronic headaches, or we have a child that's battling a disease, or we just can't seem to get ahead month to month, whatever it is, right? Some of us have this sort of thing in our life. But here's how God responds to Paul after he's asked all these times. God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." And then Paul says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Will you say that with me today? When I am weak, then I am strong. That doesn't make sense, right? When I am weak, then I am strong. Why are we strong when we're weak? Because then we experience his power in our lives. That's what Paul's saying there, right? There's some of us, I don't know if you're like me, I often pray, "God, make me strong. God, make me strong. I want to be strong. I want to be strong in my faith. I want to be strong," right? God never tells us to be strong. God tells us to confess our weakness to him. Because when we confess our weakness, what happens? His strength comes in. And his strength is more powerful than I ever am on my strongest day, right? So our goal is not, "Oh, God, make me strong." No, Lord, here's my weakness. I give it to you. I cast it on you. I want to depend upon your power. It's the difference between sailing and rowing through life, right? Some of us, right, we're rowing. But when things get tough, what do? We just row more, right? And we exhaust ourselves. Some of us, that's where we're living right now. We're exhausted from all the rowing. Right, we're just rowing so far, and we can't get any further. There's an invitation in God to put up some sails. Right, when we surrender things, put up some sails and allow God's power to move us through life. Are you rowing through life? Are you just rowing and wearing yourself out, sore muscles, or are you sailing? "I have to be strong. I have to be strong. I have to be strong." No, you have to be weak. You are weak. Confess it so you can experience. Romans 8:26 says this, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to your purpose." So often we want God to make us strong, but he wants us to confess our weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9 again says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, boast all the more gladly about weakness, for Christ's power will rest on me.'" So as I close this morning, I want us to do what I was talking about at the beginning of this. I want us to heed those words that we read at the beginning, God's words to Haggai when he says, "Consider your ways." I want to ask you this morning, what subtle lies have crept in and cause you to get a little bit off track? Are there things in your life that you need to put down? Are there things in your life that you need to hand off? Are there things in your life that you need to take and you need to cast on Jesus? There is a gift in too much if we're willing to accept that. Will you stand to your feet with me this morning as we close? Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, we thank you that every gift is from you. Lord, we thank you that life is from you. And Lord, we thank you that in this season, Lord, there is an invitation for us to, Lord, to experience and to depend upon your presence, Lord, to experience your power at work in our lives, Lord, but often we cannot do those things if we're unwilling to put some things down, to hand some things off, to cast some things on you, Lord. I pray in this moment, Lord, I pray in this moment, Lord, that you would meet us exactly where we are. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if today you're saying, "You know what, I've got some things that I'm carrying that I need to put down or some things that I need to hand off," if you're looking for God's help, I would just invite you to raise your hand right now so I could pray for you. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your help. Father, for all of us who are brave enough to admit, Lord, that we need your help, Lord, I pray that we would experience your scripture to be true, Lord, that you would meet us in our weakness. Lord, that we would experience your strength. Lord, that we would experience your power. And if there's anyone in this room this morning, you're saying, "You know what, I don't know what that is. I've been walking through life on my own. I want to I want to begin to follow Jesus. If that's you this morning, you're saying, you know what, I want to begin to follow Jesus. I would love to pray for you right now. I'd love to lead you in prayer. If there's anybody here in this room or online, you say, that's me. You just want to slip your hand up. If that's you this morning, I would just invite you to pray. Father, I give you my life. Father, I've tried to do it on my own. So Jesus, I'm trusting you. Lord, would you come into my life? Would you lead me? Would you save me? In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's put our hands together. Thank you, Lord.